Penguin Audio presents The Kingdom by Clive Cussler with Grant Blackwood. Read by Scott Brick.
Prologue, A Land Forgotten. Of the original 140, could I be the last sentinel? The grim thought swirled through Dakal's mind. The invader's main force had overrun his country from the east 8 weeks earlier with brutal speed and cruelty. Cavalry and foot soldiers poured from the hills and swarmed into the valleys, razed the villages to the ground, and slaughtered all who stood before them. Along with the armies came elite bands of soldiers tasked with a single mission: locate the sacred Thurang and bring it to their king. Having foreseen this, the sentinels, whose duty was to protect the holy relic, removed it from its place of reverence and spirited it away. Dakal slowed his horse to a trot, slipped off the trail through a break in the trees, and stopped in a small shaded clearing. He climbed from the saddle, allowing his horse to wander to a nearby stream and bend its head to drink. He moved behind the horse to check the series of leather bands that secured the cube-shaped chest to the animal's rump. As always, his cargo was held fast. The chest was a marvel, so solidly built that it could withstand a high fall onto a rock or repeated bludgeoning without showing the slightest crack. The locks were many, hidden, and ingeniously designed to make them all but impossible to open. Of the 10 sentinels in Dakal's cadre, none had the resources or ability to open this unique chest, nor did any of them know whether its contents were genuine or a substitute. That honor, or perhaps curse, belonged solely to Dakal. How he had been chosen was not revealed to him, but he alone knew that this sacred chest carried the revered Thurang. Soon, with luck, he would find a safe place to hide it. For nearly the past 9 weeks he'd been on the run, escaping the capital with his cadre just hours ahead of the invaders. For 2 days, as the smoke from their burning homes and fields filled the sky behind them, they raced south on horseback. On the third day they split up, each sentinel heading in his predetermined direction, most heading away from the invaders' line of advance, but some back toward it. These brave men were either already dead or suffering at the hands of their enemy, who, having captured each sentinel's decoy cargo, were demanding to know how to gain access to his chest. As designed, this was an answer none of them could give. As for Dakal, his orders had taken him due east, into the rising sun, a direction he'd maintained for the past 61 days. The land in which he now found himself was very different from the arid, mountainous terrain in which he was raised. Here there were mountains, too, but they were covered in thick forest and separated by lake-pocked valleys. It made staying hidden much easier, but it had also slowed his progress. The terrain was a double-edged sword. Skilled ambushers could be upon him before he had a chance to run. Thus far he'd had many close calls, but his training had seen him through each one. 5 times he'd watched, hidden, as his pursuers rode within feet of him, and twice he'd fought a pitched battle with enemy cavalry squads. Though outnumbered and exhausted, he'd left these men dead, their bodies and equipment buried, and their horses scattered. For the past 3 days he'd not seen or heard any sign of his pursuers, nor had he come across many local people. Those he did encounter paid him little attention. His face and stature were similar to theirs. His instincts told him to ride on, that he hadn't put enough distance between himself and— From across the stream, perhaps 50 yards away, came the crack of a branch in the trees. Anyone else would have dismissed it, but Dakal knew the sound of a horse pushing through heavy brush. His own horse had stopped drinking, its head raised and ears twitching. From the trail, another sound, the scuff of a horse's hoof on the gravel trail. Dakal pulled the bow from the sheath on his back and an arrow from the quiver, then crouched down in the knee-high water grass. Partially blocked by the horse's legs, Dakal peeked under the animal's belly, looking for signs of movement. There was nothing. He turned his head right. Through the trees he could just make out the narrow trail. He watched, waited. Then, another hoof scuff.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?